Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. At Alma, we know the connection between you and your therapist matters. But if you're already feeling stressed and burnt out, the idea of trying to find a therapist you really connect with can be overwhelming. That's why Alma's focused on helping you find the right therapist for you. When you browse their online directory, you can filter by the qualities that are most important to you. Then, book free 15-minute consultations with any therapist you're interested in seeing. And because 95% of therapists at Alma accept insurance, you can find care that's affordable too. You want to talk to someone, but not just anyone. Alma is there to help you find the right fit. Visit helloalma.com/therapy30 to schedule a free consultation today. That's helloalma.com/therapy30.
Season 4, episode 13. I'm your host this week, Jenna Anderson, and joining me today are Jamie Jurek.
Good morning, everybody.
Nick Valdez.
Howdy, everybody.
And Aaron Perrine.
What's going on?
And we have a big show to talk about. We have so much going on. We are saving our X-Men 97 talk for the last portion of the show. So if you haven't watched yet and you don't want spoilers, that is when you can safely dip out. But up until then, we're going to be talking about a lot of Marvel news. We have a new Marvel game to talk about. We have the second game in a row to cover on the show. And yeah, just a lot of fun updates. So thank you to everyone who tuned in to our The Wolverine episode on Monday. Next Monday, we will be recapping and reviewing X-Men Days of Future Past, which should be a lot of fun. I'm very excited for that episode. So be sure to join us for that. Jamie, what's up?
I'm sorry, Nick, are you watching X-Men on a VCR behind you? On a VCR TV?
Yeah.
Amazing.
Oh my gosh. You came prepared. I love it. That is amazing. More of our guests and co-hosts need like pyrotechnics going on behind them.
Yes.
That's incredible. I love it so much. Well, on that note, before we get into X-Men, before we get into all of the news of this week, a new Marvel game was announced this morning. It is a very different type of game from the Black Panther and Captain America game we talked about on the show last week. So this is called Marvel Rivals. It's from NetEase Games, and it is very kind of Overwatch-esque. It is a multiplayer game where you just kind of battle as different Marvel characters. The beta for it is launching in May, and the roster for it includes a pretty surprising array of characters. We have Black Panther, Spider-Man, Magic, Magneto, Doctor Strange, Groot, Hulk, Iron Man, Loki, Mantis, Namor, Penny Parker, Rocket Raccoon, Scarlet Witch, Storm, Star-Lord, The Punisher, and Luna Snow. So we have the trailer playing right now. I watched this trailer when this dropped, and I was very excited for it. Nick, I know you're kind of a gamer. How do you feel about this new game?
I mean, I don't play a lot of Overwatch, but I will play Marvel Watch. You know,
exactly.
I think that kind of says it all for me. I just want to play Iron Man. Iron Man looks super fun, but you know, you named that roster, and I didn't realize how huge it was right from the jump. So I'm in. Like I 100% in off the bat.
That's about where I'm at too. I've never played actual Overwatch, but I'm a huge Fortnite person and this just looks like a lot of fun. So I will definitely be playing this as soon as I am able to. I know Jamie and Aaron are not massive gamers, but what do you guys think about like Marvel getting this kind of game and like the roster of characters on it?
Go ahead, Jay. Do
you I was just going to say, whenever something gaming comes up, I turn into Marvin from Pulp Fiction, which is, man, I don't even have an opinion. Like, it looks cool. I will never play it. I don't even know how one would play it. I like the style. They look very pretty. And I hope everyone has a really fun time playing it.
But they included Scarlet Witch just trying to get Jamie into gaming. Yeah, they're trying to indoctrinate her into it.
Even that won't work.
Exactly. That's how deep it is. I'm laughing because isn't this what Avengers should have been?
Like, that's what people wanted Avengers to be.
Right. Yes. Why wasn't Avengers just this? It doesn't make sense. It looks good. I am a little concerned because there are so many hero-based shooters that exist. Yeah. Like I was going to do like a bit where I was listing them and then it was too many to list, like literally did not finish, including a bunch of them that last for like, you know, 6 months and then they end support for them. So I'm hoping that this is a little bit more long lived than that. I mean, Snap still running strong. The Marvel games, Avengers excluded, have been really, really good for about 2 years, 3 years, you know, like. Pour one out for that Guardian of the Galaxy game that rips that nobody
it's
like
so
actually
good.
Went and go play it actually. Goodness gracious. So excited to see. I'm laughing because the hero drops on this are going to be like Smash Brothers level where there are people going to be upset when it's like, it's not Miles Morales.
Yeah.
It's not Quicksilver. It's not Steve, Captain America. Why? Why is there not here? I can't wait to see that because I just... Coming from a Nintendo Directs, coming from other weird gaming things, that's the fun of it for me. When the announcements happen and people get riled up, that is what Aaron is here for. So let's see.
I know Peter, our producer, has already named like half a dozen different characters that should have been on the roster and aren't yet. So, yeah, that conversation is definitely going to keep happening.
No speedball!
Really, and he's in the comments right now saying that. Well, we know Jamie's answer, even though she would never actually play the game, but who would you main if you are playing this game? Like, I know Jamie would pick Wanda if she were actually a gamer. Nick and Aaron, which of these characters would you want to main?
So I'm just kind of watching this trailer here and I saw Galactus. I'm going to need some more of that Galactus. I'm just going to say that.
Yeah. Very here for sassy Galactus. I have no idea what the lore is, but I'm very intrigued. But yeah, you said Iron Man. Would you probably main Iron Man?
Yeah, Iron Man, Namor, maybe Hulk, depending on like what kind of, because Hulk looks kind of slow, but if it's a lot of jumping and like hitting and eliminating people with like a single hit, I can, like, that sounds super fun. So I don't know, but Iron Man seems like the perfect pickup and play for everybody.
Yeah. Aaron, what about you?
I think my wife would kick me out of the house if I didn't pick Storm. so that's probably what we will go ahead and roll with. She's experiencing a moment, so that would be really fun. Also, let it be known, the second they asked Sam, that's what it would be. I would learn how to play it just so I could.
Yeah, I'm torn because I feel like there are three different characters I would really want to play. Like Magic is literally on screen right now. I want to see how her sword factors into the game. And then also Wanda, just to see how those mechanics are. And then Mantis is in the roster and supposedly can just make people go to sleep, which I'm like very curious how that works in a very fast paced combat kind of context. So yeah, this game looks like a lot of fun. I will definitely keep an eye on it as it is coming out in May. But that's it for the video game. What? Go on.
So Robert Hall in the comments, I think you do have to play a pre-made hero.
Yeah.
You just imagine if they did give you a creative. That would be awesome.
That would be too chaotic. That would be too powerful.
Too much going on.
Luckily, there are so many to play with that you can probably find something that suits your needs. But that's it
Why
for
would
video
you
want to
be yourself
talk.
When you can be
I know, exactly.
Yet.
Wow.
Perfectly said, Jamie. All right, well, Jamie's eyes can no longer glaze over because we are done with video game talk.
Okay, good.
And you actually have the next news story.
Great, I'm back in it. I am listening. I'm focused. Spider-Man 4 news in the Tom Holland realm, not in the Toby realm. And this comes from Jeff Snyder, which, you know, this is all, you know, speculation, rumors, take it with a grain of salt. We do not know if any of this is true. So it's rumored to begin filming in the fall with Tom Holland and Zendaya to return. Justin Lin is being eyed to direct, which is like, I'm into that because he did the Fast and Furious. He did Star Trek Beyond. No, I'm sorry, not Fast and Furious 1. He did Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift and like 6 and 7, I think. I think that's right off the top of my head of my Fast knowledge. He did some good ones. Yes. So that intrigues me. What do you guys think?
Yeah, the Justin Lin part of this is the most exciting thing for me, because like we talked about it on the show like a month or so ago about like who should direct Spider-Man 4, and we could only come up with white guys. And so I'm really glad that if this rumor pans out, then we're going to have someone who is not a white man directing a Spider-Man movie. And that is very cool in and of itself. And I like Justin Lin. I think his Fast movies are really, really good. And Star Trek Beyond is a lot of fun. So I have hope. I'm just very curious after all of the scuttlebutt over Marvel and Sony wanting this movie to be two different things, which version we're actually going to get if Justin Lin directs it.
I mean, if he's doing all that stuff with cars, what is he going to do with Spider-Man? You know, and unless it's like Spider Buggy or like, but
that'd be great. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Just like if he can pull off those action scenes with cars, I can't wait to see what an action scene with Spider-Man would do, especially if you toss in like characters that I want to see, like Kraven show up or Rhino or like, no, but jokes aside, like, I want to know who like wrote this movie. There are so many other things. Like apparently if this rumor holds true and they already have a sign or director and already want to start filming, where's the rest of it? You know?
I'm shocked you did not say the words Madam Web at all in that anecdote.
RIP on Mr. Everyday.
Aaron, how do you feel?
I like the Fast franchise, so it's fine. This pick inspired a lot of debate on the old comicbook.com Slack. So people were like upset. And I'm like, I don't really get. Also, you just don't know until you see the movie. You have no clue until we see something. There's a bunch of other weird rumors about this film, about the subject matter and stuff. I see some of that bleeding into the comments here where they're like, I hope it's not a multiverse movie or whatever. And I'm like, well, guys, I don't know. Somehow Justin Lin makes me less certain of what it would be than having John Watts come back. You know,
it's
even more like, what could this possibly be? Like, in before, you know, Tom swings back to his dumpy apartment at the end of Spider-Man 4 and Dominic Toretto was like, I got a job for you, kid. Like, who knows? It's all here. It's all here.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Imagine sleeping in the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's iconic sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code Odyssey. So head to B-O-L-L and Branch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I do want the spider buggy now. So badly.
That would be Jamie. Pretty dope.
Oh, voice by Vin Diesel.
And say that he didn't do 7, that was James Wan, but he did do 5. And 5 is, I think we can all agree, the best Fast and Furious
movie. 5 is a masterpiece. But
I also want to point out that in Tokyo Drift, his first one of the franchise, they have the Hulk car. So I feel like if he does it, there has to be an Easter egg where the Hulk car drives around in the background. I would be so mad if he got into the MCU and didn't bring in the Tokyo Drift.
Big up Shad Moss. Big up Twinkie.
I was just gonna mention that. I was like, yo, Bow Wow's gotta come by and drive a home.
Yes. Oh, my God.
Columbus in the building. What's up?
Yeah.
I feel like we're just writing a Tokyo Drift sequel at this point. We're not even writing Spider-Man 4. Oh, my God.
I'm all about that, Jamie Jennick. Y'all, I will show up. I'll be there. I'll just wait in the theater. It'll be me and like five other people. There are dozens of us that enjoy that movie so much. Oh my gosh.
Well, so Lord. we will keep y'all tuned in if there are any more Spider-Man 4 updates, obviously, because we talk about this movie almost every single week on the show. But yeah, so here's hoping we get more information in the near future. And then for our third piece of news before we go to break, I know Aaron really wanted to talk about this debate and conversation that's happening on the internet. So Nelson Peltz, who for very convoluted reasons I will not explain here, is trying to get involved with the Disney board, gave an interview to the Financial Times, and I will not say his exact comments, but his comments are kind of going viral because he talked about Captain Marvel and the Marvels and Black Panther and started a lot of discourse with that. And he also said that he questions Kevin Feige's record and might not have kept him employed. Aaron, you really wanted to talk about this. How do you feel about this?
I mean, it's funny because just from a pure profit perspective, it's gibberish, right? Just from a pure, like, cold calculating, like, I'm trying to get the most of the money out of this. It's nonsense, like, for real.
Yeah.
Like, I always love doing this online. I don't do it as much anymore because you're not going to change hearts and minds in the comments. You're just not. But what's the highest performing non-Spider-Man thing after Avengers Endgame? What is it? And everybody in the comments would immediately go, Guardians, and you're wrong. It's freaking Black Panther Wakanda Forever. It just doesn't make sense. It doesn't hold up. I'm sure that when Deadpool and Wolverine comes out, it will probably make more money than that. I mean, it's got Hugh Jackman running around in yellow spandex. It's probably going to out-earn it. But from a pure profit perspective, it doesn't make sense. It just doesn't. It's silly. And also, I mean, I don't know. If leadership matters so much in an organization, like coming to work and not feeling like you're just dreading the person who works over you. Like I always joke around solidarity to anybody who's coming into any toxic workplace where you know the person above you is just running nonsense, right? Like just running just absolute crazy pills. And you're just trying to do your work, you know? You're just trying to get the front end to render right. You want the user interface to work correctly. You're trying to sell dog food to people who really love their dogs. And the guy above you is a bozo. And you can't do your job because he's just screwing with stuff constantly and saying crazy things and doing crazy stuff, right? I don't understand. That would be a death knell for me, but I'm not super rich. Maybe there are rich people who believe this stuff. There are poor people who believe this stuff, right? Like, but I was just so floored because I was like, if you... Can I just tell like a younger Aaron joke? Like before I was on this show with you guys, I used to tell jokes about this dude, about Ike Perlmutter, because I'm like, if you tell me not to make Captain Marvel and Black Panther, and then we do it, and they both make $1 billion, you're out of there the next day. Like there are more demanding college programs I follow in sports that would have your stuff ready in a box the day after Captain Marvel came out. Like, all right, you can go. Like, we'll keep you like emeritus name, whatever, but you're never coming near the product again because you're standing in the way of the money. Like, so it's funny. I'm like, I wouldn't trust you to drop a basket of fries, much less run my movie division. It's insane. I wouldn't trust you to get my fast food order right. And shout out to the people who are manning that grill, who are manning them fries, dropping them onion rings, dropping them nuggets. We'll get to that later. But It's silly. I don't understand. I'm sitting there. I'm like, just on numbers, it doesn't make sense. It's just silly. And I'm sad BD's not here because I'm like, dang, BD, where's my shield? You know, he's Seth Rollins in this equation. It's silly. Frustrating.
It really feels like one, like you said, like Black Panther is the sixth highest grossing movie in North American history. It made more money in North America than Infinity War, which is crazy. We all know Captain Marvel made $1 billion. And when somebody says something like this, and it's literally like, I've said this, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, it's stupidity, or is it just like bragging about being racist? Like, guess what my opinion is, and I'm going to throw it out there. And it really is like, we can't let these people near our franchise because they have bad intentions. They're just so, it's just so incorrect. Like the numbers, these people care about money more than anything. Or do they care about money more than anything? Clearly it's number two, because the money is there. The money is so there.
Nick, how do you feel about it?
I mean, we saw what happened with the last Airbender when got his way. So, you know, allegedly covered my own skin here, you know, but that's, you know, the last time that happened and the last time certain people were wiped out in favor of other certain people, we got that. So I would prefer that not to happen to Marvel, where we're finally making some progress. And it wasn't really like... And all these comments and mentions didn't really happen until Phase 4. And which is why it's like, oh, we're finally getting to the point where we can have these projects that experiment in different ways with different people and with different cultures and with different ideas, that it would feel like a huge step backwards to literally go backwards and change what is working. Because like Aaron said, the numbers are literally supporting this is what people want. The people, so like, even if like the Marvels, people didn't see it in theaters, sure, whatever. But if you look at Disney Plus, it's like it held up Disney Plus for like a couple months. So I don't want to hear it. That's pretty much it.
I think Nick hit the nail on the head of like, you can't put the genie back in the bottle at this point. Like that is the main kind of consensus I have reached in this whole controversy. And I will say, I plugged this book a million times on the show and I'm going to do it again, but Joanna Robinson's MCU book really gets into kind of Ike Perlmutter and how this isn't a new perspective from the people who are in this situation. So yeah, we're not trying to elevate the comments that were said, but we just had to talk about it because it was all over the internet this week. But yeah, on that note, we're going to move to much more lighthearted topics. We're going to take a quick 1 minute break. And when we come back, we have some Anthony Mackie news. We have some Eyes of Wakanda news. So stay tuned for that.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to Phase Zero. We are now in Phase Two of today's show, and we have even more news to talk about. So Anthony Mackie has been saying a lot of quotes about Cap 4 and kind of his Marvel journey so far. He was on the One More Life podcast, and he dropped some quotes about Bucky and Zemo that had the internet kind of sad. So he said, "The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, I really enjoyed doing that show. I was actually excited to do a second season just so me and Sebastian Stan can get paid to hang out, because it's like me, him, and Daniel Brühl. It's kind of like the perfect storm of happiness. When they decided to go back to the movies, it is what it is, but I don't have my friends anymore, so it kind of dampens it a little bit. Anything I can do to hang out with Daniel, a dancing Daniel Brühl, makes me very happy." So I know Peter, our producer, who is the number one dancing Zemo truther, is very elated right now. How do we feel about these quotes? I feel bad for Mackie that he doesn't get to hang out with his friends anymore.
I feel like he's totally just being nice, because like he doesn't get to hang out with his friends, but he gets to lead a Captain America movie. So like, I feel like you're fine, buddy. He's, you know, I think he's just saying, I think like, I always like to stress, especially these days, that the things that are said on Twitter are like the teeniest, tiniest, dopiest percent of people with that have opinions and watch these movies. But I do think it's funny that to see even one person being like, "Oh, it's ruined. No Sebastian Stan. What are they doing?" He's leading another movie. And like, he's busy. He's going to be in another Marvel movie. Like, I'm sure we will see, like, you know, I'm the biggest Sam and Bucky shipper, and I want them together as much as you do, more, because I want to see them kiss faces. But like, it's fine. They'll come back together. Like, it's not like Sebastian Stan's done. He's doing Thunderbolts. Chill out.
See, but that has been now speculation in and of itself. When people are like, is Bucky going to die in Thunderbolts? And then now we're never going to see that friendship ever again.
No, Bucky's not going to come on. Like, dude showed up in What If season 2. He's fine. Like, if you want somebody who's completely down for the future of Marvel, he's constantly talking about like, "Oh yeah, I'm in it for the long haul," basically. So yeah, he's not going anywhere. Come on. Come on.
Bro, like almost like a 1,000-word article when people started speculating he was going to die. And I'm just like, basically the thesis is, you know, Secret Wars is coming. You really think that Marvel is going to pass up the absolute tears of the audience the first time an alternate Steve walks through, or heck, when whatever, and then you get to see, and we get in a shot-for-shot inversion of Infinity War, where it's like, oh my God, like what? My friend is back, so that's probably not going to happen. I don't know what's going on with Thunderbolts. It seems like there's something big in there. I am scared for other characters. If you love a certain sheriff on Stranger Things, I think you have reason to be concerned about that. I think you should direct your attention to that being a problem. Funny enough, those two are actually in an episode in What If Season 3 together. There's like a big road trip episode planned, right? I don't know. It is kind of sad not to get Sam and Bucky together, but also like, I cannot tell you how much stronger in some ways of a project it would have been if it focused on one of them or the other, as opposed to both. It kind of like, there are parts of Falcon and Soldier that feel less than served because we had to pop between the two. Like, that first episode, not having them together, is still one of my main, like, why did we do that of phase four? Because it would have been nice. As soon as they get together, the show picks up and it's very fun. And the two of them are bantering. And, what is it? Sorcerers, alien, wizards, aliens, or cyborgs, or androids. That's fine. It's great. Amazing. But also, I remind people, too, we didn't just give Danny Ramirez giant hulking guns for no reason. He's totally going to be in Brave New World as Sam's sidekick and probably have more of a speaker role, especially after a whole Top Gun. So, while I'm sad about the wonderfully haired man not being with us in Brave New World, he's not going anywhere. He just needs to stop eating girls. He just needs to stop eating women. That's all. And it's funny, a bunch of people go see that and be like, what are you talking about?
There are people who will not remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that just clicked for me. I'm like, wait a minute. What are we talking about? Oh, yeah. I'm like, oh, right.
Aaron, can you explain, Aaron?
I will. So there is a movie called Fresh that starts out, it starts, it starts out like a very normal romantic comedy. And then you realize, spoiler from a movie that came out 4 years ago, that he's like a serial killer that's been like cutting them up and eating them and keeping them chained in a basement. And it completely plays off this whole, oh, we all love Sebastian Stan, look at him in this nice, sensible sweater. And then halfway through, it just goes berserk and you're really afraid of him. And he's very scary. I've joked around that the Tommy Lee thing and Bucky are three very different paths. Be very different paths for that man.
Yeah.
Edward Simmons in the comments, what did the conversation just turn into? Go watch Fresh if you have a parent or guardian.
Yeah. It's got a great title card, too.
I don't like scary movies.
You're not a horror movie person.
I'm surprised.
No. Ariel dragged me through that. She dragged me through that, kicking and screaming. And I was like, what is happening? The first third, I'm like, oh, dates. Look at all these leaves changing colors. It's great. And then it gets very, very harrowing. And then I have to square that's Bucky out here, like chaining girls up, Black Snake Moan style. Wow, we're getting into some real commentary today.
I almost tweeted about Black Snake Moan yesterday. That's so
Oh, weird. God. Yes, Jamie.
Y'all are a hive mind. Oh, my gosh. I hope you're right and Bucky survives so we can get to Secret Wars. Also, just because I love Bucky way too much, I'm not prepared to say goodbye to him. Oh, with the certain sheriff from Stranger Things, at least he gets to go play Frankenstein. At least there's that. So he's not going anywhere in the superhero space. So
we'll have like two Buckys by the time Secret Wars is over. So everyone will be fine. We'll have one Bucky for Captain America stuff and one Bucky for everybody else. It'll be fine. It'll work out.
You'll get a Bucky. Yeah, everyone gets a Bucky. Tumblr would love that, especially like
everyone gets a Bucky. Avengers 5, everyone gets a Bucky.
Well, moving away from the multiverse and something that is actually tied to the sacred timeline, Aaron.
That it's so weird because when we went to that Marvel animation thing, we all assumed that all those titles were just going to be other fun little divergence for us to get into. And instead, one of them is on the sacred timeline. Our good friend Brad Winterbaum, head of Marvel Animation, talked to Men's Health about Eyes of Wakanda being sacred timeline canon out of nowhere. It's like burying the lead hilariously about that show. So he said, we're exploring so many different avenues on the animated side. Eyes of Wakanda, more than any other show, fits right into our sacred MCU timeline continuity. Ryan Coogler is a producer on it. Todd Harris is one of our longtime storyboard artists who directs it. It's about Wakanda history and mythology, and it's really cool. It looks amazing, and it feels like, okay, I'm getting animated look into the MCU. For those of you who don't know, Eyes of Wakanda follows previous Black Panthers, previous agents of Wakanda, trying to go get vibranium artifacts back that might have been missing so that you don't have, Michael B. Jordan killing museum workers later down the line. How do we feel about Eyes of Wakanda being in the sacred timeline?
I feel like it needed to be. I feel like you can't conceive a show like this and then also sell it to general audiences of like, but this isn't the history of the Black Panther that you know. Like that would be way too much of a step. So it makes me excited. I'm curious to see what chapters of history it goes into, because I feel like there's certain parts of just the larger MCU history that we haven't seen any of. So I'm excited for it. I really just hope that they use the animation in a very cool way outside of just like, here's just Wakanda. Like I have faith that they're going to do something cool with it.
Okay, I was just going to say, it's going to be rad in Secret Wars when we see all these Black Panthers show up at one time to help Shuri or to help whoever's fighting, to help Wakanda. We're just going to get all the Black Panthers introduced here and just going to start showing up, and it's going to be rad. I like that this is all officially canon, you know?
I don't really care anymore, like, what is and isn't sacred timeline. Like, we have so many things going on now, but what I do appreciate is knowing what is and isn't sacred timeline, and Brad has been so just open about it. Like, whereas, like, Foggy never wants to tell us that one easy question. I don't know why he's, like, so cagey about that one thing, but Brad is like, Daredevil, yes, sacred timeline, this sacred timeline. I'm like, I appreciate that he's just telling us the truth about it, more so than my feelings about whether or not it actually is.
One day he'll tell you the truth about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
One day.
One day. We all know that's what I'm talking about. We all know.
The truth is out there. I think it's interesting, too, just because, like, every time we see T'Chaka or the previous Panther in any of these animated things or in live action, it's really dope. Go watch that Hydra game trailer for more information about that. So any more of that is like catnip. But also, Jamie, I don't know. Some fans really don't want to invest in anything that's not like the main story. Although I've seen your guys' playthroughs of Spider-Man 2. I've seen your playthroughs of other games. Y'all love side quests. I was spending a month of us being inside watching people do all the weird corners of Red Dead Redemption 2 and being like, wow, what the heck? Alien invasion. Like, I'm hooked. I'm in for all of it. So it's nice that it's connected, but I didn't expect it. Like, great.
I think that's a whole larger conversation of like just fandom, modern fandom just kind of wants some sort of continuity because they think like something has to be worth their time, which is valid when there's so many things to watch, so many things to play. You kind of want to like follow a singular track, but like, at a certain point, you have to open your mind beyond that and just be like, what am I going to like? What stories am I going to enjoy, regardless of whether or not they're canon to anything else? But yeah. And Jamie,
we have to care about Secret Wars. We have to care about Secret Wars. Let's not forget that. We have to care about other characters in Secret Wars. But yes, we got to move on. And David Krumholtz of the Santa Claus all the way to Oppenheimer fame, big filmography. He campaigned to play the Thing. He talked to our own Chris Killian and he said, I still very much want to be part of the MCU at some point. I have no qualms about it. It's not cool to say that right now. I don't care. To me, it's the coolest thing. The Thing just felt like a good fit to some extent. I think Eben Moss Backrack is going to be doing an amazing job with that. A lot of it's motion capture and voice stuff, so I really wanted to try that, and I've never done that before. So that was something that intrigued me big time. Just to be a part of the team. I've always loved that character, but you never know. Something will come up or not. I'll end up playing Ghost Rider's orthodontist. he is the kind of like little character actor that you would see sprinkled into the MCU. I think it's funny, I actually met David Krumholtz this week as well, because I saw his new film Lousy Carter, and I got to tell him he's great in it, because he's fantastic in this movie, and he's just such a good actor, and I would love to see him blow up even more. And like, you know, he's been working in this industry since he was a kid, and I would love to see him in the MCU just because I think he deserves that paycheck. and I think that there are lots of options for him, and that would be cool to see. What do you guys think?
I love his outlook on all of this. I love that he's like, I will literally play any character actor role. I just want to be in this franchise. Like, his enthusiasm is palpable. So it would have been really cool to see him play Ben. I think Eben is still going to be such a great fit. But yeah, there's something for him to do. I know the obvious one, still keeping it in Fantastic Four, is like him playing Mole Man. Like, that would be great. But I'll be enthusiastic if he plays any role.
Yeah, I'm just happy that Jamie told me where this man is from. Because like, there are so many dudes in Oppenheimer that I'm like, wait, which? Okay, all right, there we go. It would have been interesting, of course, a bit different. Like, you know, the internet still out here wishing that their fan cast came true, and that would have been really fascinating. I don't think anybody had him pegged for that. So, you know, the road less traveled. Maybe he could walk through a portal.
Nick, how do you feel about it?
Oh well.
No, I'm on the same mind where I just hope he shows up. I do hope it's more than just like a regular dude who's assisting somebody or just like who gets a speaking line in there, because he does deserve a little bit more than that. He has that credibility. I know it's such a weird thing to say, like an actor has credibility to be in the Marvel universe, but no, like he literally has that thing that like you would want to see him on screen as somebody. And you know, with like the X-Men coming up and like a huge side of the Marvel universe, there are plenty of characters that he could play, and I hope it's somebody with an ability of some sort who gets to play a part in the story rather than Ghost Rider's orthodontist or some like just bit comedic part, you know.
Totally. So keeping the train going of actors who may or may not be on certain teams or in certain MCU projects, Aaron.
Oh boy. We got a fun one here from Lashana Lynch talking about being in the X-Men comic book movie. Managed to talk to her and ask her, like, okay, so if you're in the X-Men, are you in like Deadpool and Wolverine? And then she responded, I mean, even that sense, I'm like, am I? That's not a sense that's been put to me at all. We've had a conversation about all that. I dipped in for, I think, a day, and I think that one day I was on film. It's wild for it to be so impactful. I don't know. I used to find it a bit of hindrance not to know, as I like to know what's coming and plan, but I love now that I don't know. I love that I didn't know what was happening. There's something that came across time as a slow plan, well, for me anyway, and they probably had planned the whole time. I generally don't know what's next, and I think where the franchise is going, it's naturally going to be exciting, and I'm excited to see where it's going next. So she's waiting for the call just like all of us. Although, I mean, if you were going to introduce a live action binary and then like, you know, have it appear somewhere else, you would hope it would be in like the other like X-Men universe that we're going to get that actually it has a date and has a release time and things. What do you guys make of this?
I agree with you. I feel like if she were to show up in the immediate future, it would be in something like Deadpool. So her not knowing yet is kind of interesting and kind of makes it sound like she might not be in it. But we've seen these actors say certain things and mean other things. So who knows?
I mean, you have Lashana Lynch. You don't. It's like you don't not use her. You know what I mean? It's like they brought her back in the Marvels because it's like we have Lashana Lynch on our payroll. We gotta use her. They brought her in Doctor Strange because we gotta use her. And that's my thing. You know, like if you have her as a potential X-Men character, you gotta use her. So come on, give me more.
Yeah, I think if we're not seeing her in Deadpool and Wolverine, we're seeing her in Secret Wars. Like, there's no way they put her in that costume for nothing. So I'm waiting. And you know what? She got to act with invisible Kelsey Grammer. So it's
just
really exciting.
Oh, man. I mean, it's so funny because there was so much. I just laughed. Like, she said that she was, like, filming Matilda, and they asked her if she could come by. And then they had the suit and were like, here you go. This is what you're doing. And she was like, what? Like, are you serious? So let's hope whatever she was filming afterwards during Deadpool Room was like 5 feet away so that she could just be like, hey, could you come back? And she's like, oh, the suit again. Amazing. Cool. Yeah, I don't know. I just need to see my girls. I'm scared to see my girls again, except for Iman Vellani.
We'll get to that in a very short amount of time in one of our other segments. But before that, Jamie has a quote.
Yeah, speaking of returns, THR asked Paul Rudd at the Ghostbusters premiere about the next Ant-Man solo movie, and he said, I have no idea. I don't know. Yeah, that's not for me to answer. You got to go to Kevin Feige and those guys. I mean, fair. Like, it's been a year since Quantumania. We're not getting a fourth Ant-Man anytime soon. And you know what? To that I say, thank God. But I do, like, we're going to see him again, I think. But I believe that he doesn't know when. Do you think he does?
I remember Bob Iger had a quote about like pivoting certain Marvel things and being like, we might not do sequels to certain things. And I think he specifically named like an Ant-Man 4 as like one of those movies that they wouldn't immediately focus on. So I agree with you. I don't think we're getting it right away, but I definitely think we're seeing him in Secret Wars or in something.
Yeah, that has to be it. Because, you know, I unfortunately do agree with Jamie, you know, not just like, I'm fine with never seeing another Ant-Man again, just as I'm fine with never seeing another Thor. There's just something about like part fours and fives that don't interest me, which is funny after talking about Spider-Man 4. So it's, yeah, like just throw him into another team movie somewhere. It does it matter? And that's likely the same case with Lashana Lynch. Like, these actors don't know because they're literally just thrown in movies and they're like, oh yeah, I was there. You know?
At least they remember. Even though they remember these cast that don't remember they're in things. So, but I 100%, Jamie's like laughing. I 100% believe he will at least appear if there's a Young Avengers thing, just because he's one of the, like, you know, adults that would be sending their kid off into mortal danger. And it's actually like his kid, much like Kamala's parents. So that would probably make sense. I also love to jokingly say to people, he's the only one of the Avengers that knows about Kang. Mm-hmm. He's the only one. So he's kind of got to be there for Avengers 5, if that's what's going on. Or he's the only one that knows, like, hey, there's multiverse out there. There's a lot of bad stuff. Like, bad stuff happened. They almost killed my girlfriend. They almost killed my kid. That guy's a menace. And that takes on a very different tone now than it did probably at the time of Quantumania's release. But yeah, absolutely. I think you're going to see him again. It's just that they're probably not going to do a fourth one, which is funny because if you're doing a Thor 5, there should just the door should just be open for whatever. They should just be open for whatever. The consistency is not there. It is not there. People like to be like, well, that makes sense because blah, blah. And I'm like, does it? As much as I want to see Thor, Chris Hemsworth make pancakes with that little girl again, that is great. But also, who knows? We're going to see that again, right? L2 Miguel over in the YouTube chat. I agree. I would trade Ant-Man for a solo Wanda movie. Tell the truth, why don't you, down there in the comments?
Just speaking Jamie's language. Yep. And then finally, before we get into our X-Men 97 discussion in the third portion of the show, it is time for the spicy nugget of the week.
Oh, goodness. You to drop my basket. There it is. There it is. Ladies and gentlemen, friends, family, countrymen, Romans. Alex P. from Cosmic Circus had another one of those delightful, delightful Q&As with the fans. They actually linked to BD's interview about Nova, which I really appreciate. Thank you guys for that. It's delightful. But also, he's been on social media teasing that we might see Carol and Monica reunite sooner than we think. And it's funny that this came out now, because Brandon Davis was like, I'm not going to be here for Wednesday's show. And I was annoyed that he wasn't going to be here for the Pelts thing. But I'm even more annoyed that he's not going to be here, because if you see them sooner than you think, the question arises that how would she get back to Universe? And all the fans are thinking incursion, and the scoopers are not backing away from that. So I ask you, if there is a possible pivot on the docket for an Avengers versus X-Men, and it's whatever weird X-Men world she's on, Monica and Binary are on, versus our heroes, does that sound like something that would interest you? Or do you want to see them do something else? Because there's also been talking about World War Hulks and stuff like that. But I can't imagine that being the pivot right now. It's so much money. Just a hilarious amount of money.
Hell yeah. You put Avengers versus X-Men in the title.
On a billboard. It's like, huh, wow.
Oh, yo.
Printing money.
Day zero? Is that somehow possible that I can see it before even, like, can I go sit in the theater right now for that? Like, I just, and there's a promise that we'd see Lashana Lynch again? Yep. Like, I mean, let's go.
I definitely think if it was the Foxverse and was all of those characters returning, like, that would be such a huge undertaking in terms of hiring people and dealing with contracts and everything. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility. I do think if they were going to hard pivot away from Secret Wars or delay Secret Wars and do something else in the interim, that would be one of the few things that would keep the fandom universally excited and not upset. So I think it could work, but I also wouldn't be surprised if Carol and Monica are reuniting in something completely unrelated that we don't even register as a possibility.
I'm just laughing at Nick sitting in the theater empty with Nicole Kidman, both of them eagerly awaiting whatever's about to happen. Jamie?
Yeah, of course. I'm pro this idea. Whether or not it's the old X-Men or the unannounced new X-Men, but if it's the old X-Men versus Avengers, I think that move over, James Cameron, that's making $3 billion.
Absolutely.
It could be sent with so much water, JB would still show up. It could be a bunch of water, JB would still be there.
Yep. All right. Well, on that note, we're going to take another quick 1 minute break. And when we come back, we're going to break down episode 3 of X-Men 97. I am so excited to talk about this episode. So stay tuned. Welcome back to Phase Zero. We are in Phase 3 of today's show, which is breaking down Episode 3 of X-Men 97. We're just going to start off kind of sharing our general reactions going around the horn. Aaron, you're at the top of the board, so take it away.
I think this is the last one they played for us at the premiere, right, Jay?
Yeah.
Okay, so like when we walked out, the first thing I said to Jamie, I was like, I just can't believe some of this stuff like happens. Like that it exists in animation. It's not just some weird Wikipedia article or fandom, like fandom wiki or whatever, that we actually get all this wild business on TV. Also, this is legitimately kind of scary. If there ever was a time where this is not exactly for the young ones, this is the episode for multiple reasons. It's very funny. it's batting 1,000. Someone go tell LeBron the episode's out. It's great. It's a good time. It's a good time for everybody.
We will continue to campaign to get LeBron on the show. BD, via our Twitter account, is trying to make that happen. And I desperately need that to happen because I do love that he's so excited. Nick, how do you feel about episode 3?
Oh, yes. So I just watched all three of them before we did this recording here. So I'm kind of still absorbing everything. But as I feel right now, like I've said this sentiment to Aaron before about other shows that we've talked about. But this X-Men 97 plays out and feels like we watched like what we thought the original looked like when we were kids. Like when you watch this, you're like, oh, man, it looks so great. They're so in depth. It's got so much it's got so many layers. It's got so much emotion packed into it. Such great storytelling. And then when you watch the original now with adult eyes, you're like, oh yeah, that wasn't as great as I remember it. So it's here seeing now in its full evolved form. X-Men Evolution, come back. But so this. And episode 3 kind of takes it to that next level that if you were still concerned that this would still be trapped within the 90s space, this one helps it take it to modern day. This helps bring us to the new age and is a great pivot away from the 90s show while still being distinctly within that space. So I'm loving it. It's nostalgia blasting, but also it feels new and fresh.
Jamie.
This episode is one of the best things I've seen all year so far. It's scary. It's sexy. It's X-Men. It's just everything about it is so good. And we're showing clips from it. And that moment where Beast, the elevator opens and that monster comes out, Tony and I were watching last night and he goes, this has Miyazaki vibes. And I was like, that's the highest compliment you can give an animated thing. Like what a weird thing to evoke in your brain watching X-Men. Like that's amazing. I just, everything about this episode is crazy. I can't where are they going to go from here? Because I feel like this is only episode 3. I'm so excited. We're all now on the same page and we only have a week left because this has been killing me. I need more. I'm just, it's so good.
This is easily my favorite episode out of the three. I tweeted in my initial reaction that this is one of my favorite Marvel things in recent memory. I love Jean and I love Madeline very deeply. And so I never could have fathomed getting a Sailor Moon transformation for Madeline becoming the Goblin Queen and getting very anime style, like you said, Miyazaki inspired kind of fight between the two of them. It's so unbelievable. And the show is just balancing having these cool visuals, being as nostalgic as it needs to be, but also just doing the character arc so well and just making it feel so earned. I love that we got to Inferno in episode 3. And like Jamie said, I have absolutely no idea where we go next, but the fact that we have this is incredible.
Oh my god, the Goblin Queen? Oh my god.
I texted Jamie while I was watching the screeners because the way that they animated her was perfect. So great. I'm so happy for all of the people watching this show who might have certain awakenings watching this show, because there's a lot of characters to choose from in that regard. I will say the Madeline and Jean story, I do love how they tackle it because it is very different from the comics. In the comics, Jean dies and Madeline is introduced as this completely standalone other woman named Madeline Pryor, who happens to look exactly like Jean. She and Scott get married, they give birth to their child, and then Jean comes back and they learn that she's a clone and everything. It's really messy. So I love kind of the soap opera-ness of doing it in this way. How do you guys feel about it?
My favorite thing about this is the week we had of people not seeing episode 3, but we knew. And the amount of people, I want to shout out my friend Brett from Comic Book Queers, the biggest X-Men fan I know. Like, I saw him tweet, like, well, I know which one is Jean because she fainted the first time she walked into the store. And I think that's hilarious. And then I started to see more tweets that basically say that. And it was really fun to watch people speculate and like X-Men fans being like, yeah, we know what's going on. And the whole way they executed this was funny. But the one thing that I think is funny is because they changed it when she's just like, call me Madeline. Like, where'd you get that name, girl? She just like kind of pulled that one out. Like,
I don't care. I love it.
Yeah. No, yeah.
I was thinking the exact same thing. Yeah.
I did notice that upon rewatch that like the real Jean faints like 3 times in this episode. It's like, yeah, of course, that's the Jean that we know and love because she did that so many times in the original series. But yeah, Aaron, Nick, how do you guys feel about them changing the Jean Madeline story?
Well, go ahead, Nick.
No, I was just jumping in to say, yeah, like, I'm glad that there's a comic explanation for Madeline Pryor, because like Jamie said, I was in the same boat. Like, where did you think of the name Madeline Pryor? And I'm like, oh, who's, I was like, oh, am I supposed to know her? So I got lost for a second, but it all worked out. Just Goblin Queen. And then that name came out of nowhere too, because I'm just like, and I was just in my oh my god feelings, you know?
You broke Aaron.
Oh my gosh. I was overcome with a lot, you know. I was feeling a lot.
Last case of emotion.
Yeah. Well, so keeping that train rolling, we do have to talk about Rogue and Magneto and Gambit. I have loved seeing all of the tweets and all of the discussion about this love triangle and about the Danger Room and everything. I know Jamie has thoughts, especially with this episode.
Well, first, Morph was just pranking Gambit when he was like, Danger Room, Danger. They were not in the Danger Room all day. That was definitely a prank from Morph that I caught more in the second round. But they were still off doing something. When they walk in together, oh, the tension of that. But the way that she like runs to Remy so soon because she sees he's hurt, it's like she loves him. He can't fulfill all of her needs, you know, like, and I just, it's just so juicy. And that moment when, they're like, when all the crazy stuff's going down and their skin like molds into each other. Oh, it's so weird and so cool. And like, yeah. Oh, Magneto's so hot, you guys. I just can't.
And that image of the two of them together is a comic cover of like her in her Savage Land outfit and them like canoodling. So I'm glad that we got the homage of that in just like the creepiest context possible. But yeah, Nick, Aaron, how do y'all feel about this love triangle? I know Nick wasn't here last week, so I'm very curious what you think.
Oh, like, I love getting the 97 Magneto because it's the Magneto who can do whatever he wants, because, you know, that was back when we didn't know how magnetism really worked. And so they were just like, oh, yeah, he's a god because he controls little bits of electricity and he can do whatever. And so seeing that here, seeing him battling psychic magic powers was great. It is like new, like, slaying suit where he's like, yeah, I got my giant M on, look at me, I'm sassy, I'm serving, I'm here, I'm ready to go. And so seeing that full on with Goblin Queen fight, I was just in my, oh my god.
Every time something wild happened between Magneto and Rogue during the screening, I just went like, Jamie, did you see that? Oh my god. I mean, We talked about it last week. It has to be a soap opera. That's what that's what the X-Men is. It is messier than Euphoria. It is messier than Degrassi. It is all of it at the same time. There's General Hospital, Young and Restless, all that stuff. Their passions, Dynasty, all of it at the same time. So, I mean, the fan art people on Twitter are eating well. Y'all are eating. I don't have to shout anything out. You can just go search that on your own. I'm sure that there's a ton of amazing stuff out there for y'all if you're so inclined. It is nice, though, when she did run back to poor Gambit, because, I mean, he's not even the only person to get stonewalled like that in these episodes. Poor Logan, too.
Oh, my God.
My boy gets spun like a record constantly. It's only been three episodes. It's going to get worse.
Yeah. That moment where Gene is like, you feel that way about Scott. I was like, yeah. Oh my God. Also, I am the number one Cyclops hater. I love to hate that man. He is he's a whiny little baby. But he's supposed to be. Like this show is perfect because it's that is what Cyclops is. And when he's just so dramatic. I can't be a part of this. Oh, like, dude, chill out. I know you're a good leader, but you just need to like take a pill. I swear. This man.
Chris and I are going to be so sad now, like, because we are huge Cyclops defenders in this household. Like, I love what the show's doing with him. I do recognize he can be a lot sometimes, but I do think the show is doing him well. But man, I didn't know you were such a Cyclops hater. Wow.
I hate that man. I like, but again, like in a loving way, like I loved him. Okay. I want him on my screen so I can be like, oh, this guy is talking again. Like it's a hatred born of love, if that makes sense.
That's when he said he couldn't be a part of this, you look at Jamie's face when it got said, and I mean, eyes rolling. It's like, oh brother, this guy stinks. Like literally.
I can't do what my father did. Your father chucked you out of an airplane, man. Like
yeah. I will say with the Logan Jean Scott love triangle, I do love when they're going through Jean's memories and they get the meme of Logan looking sad with the two of them canoodling in the corner, but everyone just faceless. That was brilliant. That was so good. I noticed that for like a split second, was very happy. But yeah, there aren't a whole lot of other Easter eggs in this episode. It's kind of just very straightforward to like the Inferno Goblin Queen stuff, but we get Morph transforming into magic, which I love magic, as I said at the start of the show when talking about the new Marvel game. So that was very cool. And then we have Forge at the end of the episode, kind of introducing himself to Storm. And his arrival definitely seems to be teasing Life Death, which is an arc with Storm where she kind of comes back into getting her powers and understanding the role that they have. And the episode titles that already did get revealed before the show started have hinted that Life Death is coming as an arc. So we have that on the horizon. How do you guys feel about Forge and Storm?
I hope that's not the entire season, because, you know, I came back wanting more Storm. Like, Storm was like my big one coming in back to this thing. And, you know, she's perfect in this new edition. Like, you know, her redesign is great. You know, her skin got to be darker. Let's just be open about that. Like, in the original series, she didn't get to look that way. So it's great. And seeing her at her full Omega level power was fantastic. So while the Life Death story is interesting and great, I just hope it's not like a season-long thing and then Storm gets her powers at like the end of the season and that's it. So that's my thing, is I want more Storm at her full glory.
It does seem like, because there's like two episode titles that have Life Death in them, and the second one is like the middle of April, so hopefully it won't be the entire season. Hopefully we'll still have like enough episodes afterwards to really get into that. But yeah, Aaron, Jamie.
Knowing the animated series, like their whole thing is like little mini arcs, right? So yeah. I'm sure it's going to be like a little two-parter here, a little two-parter there. I wouldn't worry too much about that.
The people making this know that they have to have certain things. I made a joke during the Wolverine episode on Monday that he ends the movie with bone claws and he comes back and he has the regular adamantium. Same thing here, guys. Like, you're not getting... We're not going to go without Storm for a whole season. I hope not, but I would bet against it. Also, with how much these people clearly love drawing costumes, we're in for some good times. We're in for some good times. Like, I'm sitting there laughing, like, there's gonna be two or three looks probably for all your biggest players in this thing. And there's more for the rest of it, where he's just gonna keep doing best of weird pull mutants. That's gonna be delightful. Cause I didn't think you'd see Psylocke, I didn't think you'd see Magic. And I was like, wow, in the first three episodes, we are already running. Who knows?
The Magic one's interesting too, because I don't think she was in the original, but or as she, like, a fully aged adult in the original one. I believe she was still a child. So that's an interesting pull, but also it's a who cares. So
they fudge the time. They've introduced some mutants who are like, or like hinted at some mutants, like Gold Balls being mentioned in the first episode. He was created like less than 10 years ago. So it's like they're being kind of anachronistic with the X-Men canon that they're pulling from. Well, so let's all just go around the horn. What are your biggest kind of predictions or hopes going forward? Because as Jamie said, we have not seen screeners beyond this point. We're all in uncharted territory.
I mean, okay, so I feel like a certain twins were in one episode of the original series. So I just feel like I don't know. I feel like Wanda is going to show up. I feel like, and in the way she should, which is as Magneto's daughter. And give me hot Magneto and his hot daughter. No, that sounded weird the way I said it. Just talking. I didn't mean for that to come off creepy. That's what I want to see happen.
We really are friends. We're such friends.
I don't know, after the apocalypse mention, I know that was just kind of like a throwaway joke from, you know, just in the dialogue, but also that got me thinking about apocalypse again, and that would be dope to get like him back, to get like, to get Professor X back in some form. Like, let's just go for it. I can't remember if they did Onslaught in the original. I feel like they did, because he was in Marvel versus Capcom. So like, that's my basis for it. It's been a while. I'm sorry, but I just want to see. I'm ready for nostalgia. You have me here. I'm ready for more Goblin Queen if she ever shows up again. I'm ready for more oh my god moments. So like, put more Gambit and more crop tops. You know, just let's do it.
Aaron.
Chris in the comments says, apparently Jay wants to see Scott die. That's his prediction. Very funny.
Then who am I going to hate funny? On? I don't want to die. Because then I can't make fun of him. Like, that's crazy. Cyclops,
man. Oh, my goodness. I think because Wonderbomb has been talking it up, that you might really get Spider-Man. I think it might really happen. That might really
you think out,
which would break internet moment right there. We've already had one or two here already, and I think that's on tap. I also, on the outside chance, I really do believe that at the near the end you could even get a Kamala thing in here. I think so. She's in so deep with the rest of the animation team. She was in there doing stuff. Like, I that seems like a thing that could happen. I also, outside chance too, I don't think there's no way Hellfire Gala, but not Hellfire Gala, because it won't be on Krakoa. Maybe it'll be on Genosha. That'd be outstanding. That's all I really wanted in the show, really. Man, me and Jenna, we do like the red carpet analysis when those covers drop every year. So it's like, I didn't really love this. Is this a good choice? I don't know. Would love. Brandon would be lost. He could be lost for 5 minutes. We could do that on the show. So, But will it be Tom Holland's Spider-Man? Oh, no. Let's not get crazy.
No, it would.
Yes. It'll be 90s Spidey. Yeah.
Yeah. Or it would be the person who's been voicing him in What If and stuff, if anything. I agree with Aaron. I think the Hellfire Gala is like my pie in the sky hope for this season or just for the show. And just, I'm very curious where Jean's arc is going to go. Because like I said, now that they've kind of twisted the Jean Madeline stuff, like, I'm very curious what Jean kind of like, what her new status quo is going forward from this. And I just want to see Emma Frost. She's in the opening. Oh, I want her to come back. I need her to come back in some capacity, because I feel like
I hope she's tall.
Totally.
I'm sorry. Like, I'm just like, yeah, because I know Emma Frost is a tall woman. So, like, I'm hoping that 97 rectifies that. Because I know in the original, she didn't have that height. I hope 97's like, yeah, well, we can do what we're supposed to do. You know, just, we could do that.
Miguel just reminded me what I really want to see, which is Mojo. Give me Mojo, please. Yes. And thank you. Mojo's my boy. What a nasty TV freak that I really love.
So, I would love that. Oh, my gosh.
Oh my gosh. All right. And then before we wrap up, we'll go around, just give a review score for this episode out of 10, since that is kind of the trend we've been doing lately. Jamie, you're at the top.
10 out of 10. No question.
Aaron?
I'll give it a 10. Now, there's just a bunch of stuff in here I would never thought I would see. And now I'm thinking about like Katie O'Brien size Emma Frost. So thanks, me. Appreciate that.
Oh, this segment is sponsored by the Giant Woman song from Steven Universe.
That's right. Yeah.
I love that song.
Nick, what's your rating for the episode?
I am in my feelings right now. So I want to go above a 10, but since 10 is where it stops, it's a 10. It's a 10.
I'm going to join the choir. 10 out of 10. I know we gave a more comprehensive ranking for the first two episodes, but this does seem really fair because like we all said, I feel like this episode exceeded our expectations. So very excited to continue talking about the show in the weeks to come, especially because we will have absolutely no idea what to expect. But yeah, that's it for today's Phase Zero. Nick, is there anything you want to leave the listeners with today? Anything you want to plug?
Oh, yes, a ton, actually. So, if you happen to be watching RuPaul's Drag Race, we're rounding out the end of season 16. You can find me over at Pop Culture Social Call with Anna Rumor. And you can also find me at Anime Initiative, a show within Comic Book Nation, where I'm speaking with Megan and Evan, the rest of the Comic Books anime team, all about anime. So if you're interested at all, please check us out. We're in this same space. I don't know if it's the exact same space, but you can find us in the comic book areas.
Hell yeah. Jamie, what do you have to plug?
Oh gosh, follow me on Letterboxd at Jamie Jurek. I have a lot of cool stuff coming up. I'm doing the first Omen junket today, so I'm interviewing the star and the director. I'm trying to set something up with Vera Drew, the creator and star of The People's Joker, one of my oldest friends, so that'll be really awesome. Keep an eye out. Hopefully that'll happen soon. Fingers crossed. And please stop talking and being on your phone in the movies. I couldn't even enjoy Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey 2. That's a movie that could be a great crowd movie, but the whole theater, bzz, 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 bzz. Shut up! Shut your mouth! Please, shut your mouth!
Oh my gosh. I'm so sorry. Wow.
I need shut up clip. I need shut up clips immediately after my outburst. We can just link everybody raging out, the entire panel raging out at some point. It's at someone like Hornet on Twitter. Mike, seriously, I talked to the Kevin Love Fund about the Spider Within, the new Spider-Verse short that came out. They have mental health, like coursework for students that they're doing along with this foundation, all for free. Students exploring their mental health, doing art storyboards and sharing their stories. Really good cause. The movie is available for free on YouTube. So you can go on YouTube and go watch New Spider-Verse. It's really good. It's fun. Shout out Kevin and his foundation for having me to talk. And yeah, that's what I got to plug.
Awesome. Well, I'm at Hey, It's Jenilyn on social media. As always, go read some comics. There's a really, really good issue of Green Arrow out this week with some character returns that I have been waiting years for. So go check that out. It's very good. Don't forget to follow our show at Phase Zero CP. Don't forget to subscribe to us on YouTube. Don't forget to leave us a 5-star review in the podcast platform of your choice. We will be back next Monday to talk Days of Future Past. And then we will be back with another show on Wednesday. Hopefully BD will also be back for that. And yeah, play the show for your mom, play the show for your dog. Have a great weekend. See you later.